This is a Pod Dealers Network podcast.
What is TWS podcast episode, whatever? Who cares at this point?
The rants were vindicated.
It's my podcast. I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
One's ready. I feel like the Neanderthal staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
Damn, ready.
Take care of your own, I know I gotta do that first. I know there's power in my time, I know there's power in a verse. Tell a kid get job and tell him go hard on the work. You know the world you grew up in is very small compared to Earth. It's the worst, they lied and told you your limits on the future. Y'all can brush it off, though came back around and groom you. Me, Alicia, Tyler, Buster, everyone in you, yeah. In life, there ain't no rules, rule. Whatever you dream, you can do, do.
They tell me I'm a king. They tell me I'm a queen. I mean, they don't tell me I'm a queen, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. Welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I'm your boy, J.Dot Flan, representing the White Pants Society. And I must start by thanking you, first and foremost, for taking whatever time out of your day to come chill with me. Listen to my random ramblings, whatever it is I do here. You could be anywhere else in the world, but you're here with me, and I do greatly appreciate that. Today is another special episode. We're doing another The Plugs I Met episode, so I'm really excited about that. So let me get through. I hate, like, skipping through the stuff about my daughter, but you know, I got company this week, so I'm trying not to, you know, make them sit too long. So let's do the Chef Elise report real quick.
Out of Pepe.
Yes, sir, I am. Not a whole lot. The big thing for me right now is soccer season is coming up again. And, like, I have a love-hate relationship with soccer season. Like, I enjoy the fact that my daughter likes playing and she gets out and she gets some, you know, some air and some, you know, exercise and she socializes with other little kids. But she sucks. The parents suck. It's an every Saturday I got to think about it, be somewhere kind of thing. And, and it costs money. But, I mean, the money's not a big thing. I got to stop caring about the money. But it's a decision every year. Like, I know, like, every season. And it happens, like, twice a year. So, spring season is coming. I know she wants to play. Like, I'm always, my ex-wife will hit me about it. And I'm like, well, let's ask her and find out if she wants to do it. I know she wants to do it. So, I just need to pull the trigger and sign up. But, y'all pray for me. Soccer season is coming. And we'll see if Chef Elise scores her second goal in, like, three seasons this year. Like, we'll see. Pray for him. Anyway, that's all I got for the Chef Elise report.
Out of Pepe.
You know I am. I do have a very special guest with me today. I'm very excited for this one. This person is one of the organizers and the main sponsor for one of the dopest events I've ever had the pleasure of participating in or even seeing, for that fact. The March to the Record Books, I've talked about it, you know, for weeks. It was a crazy dope experience. I loved it. She's one of the hosts of an extremely dope podcast, the According to This Black Girls podcast, so please go check that out. She is one of NC's finest and the owner of Opulence Radio. I got the homie Amron in the building. How's it going?
Pretty good, and thank you. Thank you for having me on, Blaine.
Oh, no, I had to. Like, yeah, that was a great experience, and I got a chance. Like, we got a chance to spend some time, especially during, I think, like that, like 11 to 5 a.m. time frame, just, like, chopping it up. So I felt like I got a sense, a little bit of like who you were. And when I was thinking about like putting together this series and the people I wanted to have on it, like you'd be perfect for what I'm trying to do here. But let me backtrack a little bit. So, you know, I usually choose my intro music every week for something particular, either to match the theme of the episode or because of the guest that I'm having. So I went with that one this week. That was Crown from Rhapsody. And so I went for the North Carolina connection. So I don't know if you know this, but I started a campaign a little more than a year ago to try to get in touch with Rhapsody. Can't say it's gone particularly well. Matter of fact, hold on for a second. Hi, Rhapsody. It's been 428 days since I started this and still no word from you. I know I missed your birthday a couple weeks ago, and I'm sorry. But you know what they say, hurt people hurt people. Still no excuse, though. And I'm not really hurt. I'm just disappointed. I'm still holding out hope, though. Just know I'll be here when you're ready. All right, with that being said, you wouldn't happen to know anybody in Rhapsody's camp, would you? Like, you don't
have I would not.
No.
I'm telling you, if I would, I would see how sincere this is.
It's very sincere. And I appreciate you for that. I had to ask. Okay, so let's get into why I brought that. That's not why I brought you here. Like, don't think I was like, yeah, I know somebody from North Carolina. Let me see if I can work something. That wasn't the play. I'm telling
you. Do you know 12 Gauge?
I do not.
You don't remember the song, Let Me Ride That Donkey?
See, okay. We can have this. I kind of remember that song. We can have this conversation. I feel like I lived a sheltered life. And there was like certain things that I just knew as a kid were not appropriate for me. And I kind of was like that kid. It was like, nah, we shouldn't be listening to that. No, like I was that dude. And so, yeah, I remember that song, but I remember like not being a fan because I felt like I wasn't.
Yeah, I know 12 Gauge.
Yeah. You know 12 Gauge though.
Right. I know 12 Gauge.
Okay. I'm going to keep that, you know. Yeah.
Just in case.
Good to know. Good to know. So I'm telling everybody I bring on here for this that what started this for me was that I started reading the Nipsey Hussle book, The Marathon Don't Stop. And I didn't know much about Nipsey when he was alive. I didn't, you know, I'm gonna admit like I have an East Coast, West Coast bias. And so, you know, I just wasn't looking for it. The name Nipsey Hussle just, I don't know. I stereotyped him. I had some prejudices. And so I kind of didn't pay attention to it. And then it's like now after he died, I'm reading the book and just finding out like beyond the music, like how amazing a person he was and what he was trying to do for his community and for, you know, black people or, you know, underprivileged people in general. And so I wanted to, you know, do this show to kind of like shed some light on the people I know personally that are doing like dope things, doing big things, and they're doing them sort of with the idea of creating opportunities and things, you know, for other people, you know, while they're achieving these super dope things. And so I got the sense from you. I'll tell you the moment that I got the sense from you that you might have that energy. It was during the nugget porn discussion. Right? And there's a lot of ways to digest nugget porn. Pause. Like there's a lot of reactions to nugget porn. But I thought your reaction
during that weekend.
Your reaction was so cool because you was Googling it on the fly. You didn't know before it came up. You found out in the moment and like your initial reaction was it lacks diversity. So it was like almost immediately you were looking for opportunities for others like, oh, you know, this is a thing. Now we need to make it more inclusive. And like, so
exactly.
I wanted to ask you like, where does that mindset come from? Like the idea of looking at things and seeing where there are opportunities to include more people or do more for people. Like that's clearly not like the genre that you would be a part of, but like you looking for opportunities for people who might be in that space. Not to say that you was like trying to direct anything, but where did that energy come from?
I love that question. I know I've always been down for the team. That's always been me. I'm not really one of those people that I feel like this. Flan, I would be so, so happy if tomorrow you were in some magazine promoting your podcast and I could be like, oh my God, I worked with him during this time. Like there's no hate. There's no animosity. That's just not the type of person I am. But definitely I'm all about people coming for the come up, especially when it comes to porn. I believe that, you know, all the black people got to win.
I got you.
So.
Yeah.
That was a long answer to that question. I apologize.
perfect answer to the question. Helps me segue. But yeah, I mean, I'm doing this series because I want like people to see like the benefits of like operating that way. Like just the fact that you said like it would mean something to you if you saw somebody that you worked with or that you, you know, participated in anything with succeed. And even if that success had nothing to do with you. But just the fact that, you know, like, you know, that person and you maybe you helped them or maybe you were just around for the moment. And now you see, you know, that stuff paying off and that means something to you. And I want like people to see like that operating with that kind of attitude has benefits to it. You know, like I want to give those people their flowers because, you know, I see so much on social media these days that just annoys the fuck out of me. Like I hate going, if I didn't have to promote the podcast, I wouldn't be on Twitter. I fucking hate it. I hate it.
I agree. Yeah. I suck at that, but I'm working on it. I totally agree. I hate how, I'm being honest with you, the older I get, the more I want to be around authentic people, yeah. If that makes sense. Like, I can smell the bullshit off of someone far away. And I just don't like being around people who aren't okay with being themselves. And that's honestly what I loved about our event is I met a lot of really cool people who are just seriously just being themselves coming in to support. Which honestly, I was scared to do the show for a moment because you met the real me. So I didn't know what we were going to do. Because, you know, the podcast me is really like liberating the women, something with social justice. And now, you know, we were talking about nugget porn. So I had no idea where this was going to go. But thank you for having me.
No. I had to. So, yeah. So I wanted to segue because, you know, one of the things I'm doing this for is that, like, I've had the luxury in my life of having a good friend that was, like, very entrepreneurial. And so, like, everything I'm doing now kind of comes from, like, my exposure to him. Like, just being around somebody who had no boundaries. Like, if they saw something they wanted to do, it wasn't like, well, I have no idea how to do that, or only rich people can do that, or only white people can do that. It was just, okay, there's something I want to do. I'm going to go do it. And that kind of has given me the drive to say, hey, I want to do a podcast. All right, I'll figure it out on the way. We're going to go do it. So, like, having the idea to set a Guinness World Record, I think for a lot of people, like, that's just not a possibility in their brain. Like, the idea would never come to them because that's just not in the realm of what's possible. Like what gives you that, like, fuck it, let's do it, let's aim big mentality? Like, there are no limits. Like, let's just go.
That's a good question. I'm glad it comes off like that. I'm so glad it comes off like that, but it's not. It's a lot of fear on my side. I'm actually working with that. Sometimes I have an issue with imposter syndrome. Like, there's no way, like, leading up to the event, every single day, it was that little voice like, girl, ain't nobody gonna come. All these people gonna sign up. This is gonna be you in DC, and you need to figure out what your backup plan and talk to DC for 48 hours. And I was preparing. But no, everything just, I don't know. It's really like a fuck it type thing.
Yeah.
Because if something doesn't work out, I mean, we could have easily been like, well, we're going to redo this on Juneteenth.
There we go.
Like, the goal is still there. I don't know. It's just more of a fuck it thing. If it don't work out, we're going to figure out what went wrong and keep trying again. Almost kind of like the same thing with podcasting. Because, you know, everyone has their own way of doing it.
Yeah.
Definitely listen to, like, your first season and then now. Like, the shit might have been kind of horrible, but you figured it out. Kind of like you just can't give up after a certain point. Tomorrow's not really promised. I don't want to be that person, but it's really not. So if you don't do your all today, it's kind of like, what's the point?
Right. Now, yeah, I like, because I think we all deal with that fear. And for some people, it's debilitating. Like, you never get past that. Like, you have an idea, but the fear behind taking the step to pursue that idea, like, just keeps you on the porch. You never take a step. So for me to see somebody, like, for one, I don't think I would have ever, it would have never crossed my mind, like, what should I try to do today? Set a Guinness World Book record. Like, it would have never happened. And then if it did cross my mind, it would have been like, nigga, come on, like, how the fuck are you going to do that? Like, and just move on to something else. And so to see somebody, like, one, have the audacity to have the idea, and then two, actually take a step for, and then, do, like, never mind that you did it, but to make the attempt, like, to get past, like, it's just an idea. I've had so many friends and stuff that we had these ideas and we talked about them for forever and never did anything. So we didn't succeed or fail. We just never did. How do you make that step?
It sounds weird, but that's never been me. I've always been just the jump in the deep pool type of person. Everything, like, nothing is impossible. Literally, I truly believe that. There's nothing impossible. I do that with my daughter. Like, if we can't figure it out today, we might have to, you know, adjust some things. But anything you want is possible. Any version of yourself. I'm a manifester. Like, I got a crystal right now because I was nervous. I'm just, whatever life you want it to be. Like, I truly believe you can have it. You may just have to plan and adjust and, you know, rework and fix your shoulders, but why the fuck not? Why can't you do anything you want to?
That's dope. So I'm seeing, I have some of the habits of people that I admire. Like, so yeah, I'm rocking this, you know, I don't even know what these beads are supposed to do. They're supposed to do something like anti-anxiety or block negative energy or something like that. I mean, I do the hum. I'm always wearing some stuff
since I knew I was coming on your page. I thought you were like spiritual with me. So wait, you're just wearing it just because?
Like, no, I'm wearing it because it's supposed to like block negative energy, but I don't actually do the research and like remember what the name of this thing is. Like, I see it and they're like, oh, it blocks negative energy. I'm like, yes, buy that. And then 2 months later, if you ask me what it is, I can't tell you. I just know that I'm wearing it because I'm trying to keep the evil spirits away from me.
Do you sage?
I haven't done all of that. Like, I'm afraid I'm the problem. I'm afraid I'm a sage and then like pass out or something because it's me. And like once the vapors hit me, like, you know, exercise some spirits.
You'll
or
be
something.
Good. You'll be good.
Like, the person you guys know now is not the person that I've always been. Like, I'm very proud of the fact that I think today, nowadays, I probably have, on a daily basis, I impact more people positively than negatively. But that was not always the case. It was a long period of time where I probably did way more harm than good on most days. So I'm trying to get there. So if I sage, it could very well be me. I could be the evil spirit in the house. Exercise myself.
I don't think so. I think you have a nice aura. Yeah, I'm one of those people too. Like, you give off niceness. Me and my friend Kristen from Locked In, another podcast that I'm on, we were talking about that. We were very impressed with you, Flynn. Like, you didn't say much during the event, but when you said something, it was like, I get you. I feel you. That dude.
That's one of my goals. Like, I don't like to talk just to talk. And I feel like if I'm very careful about what I say, then people are more likely to listen to me when I speak rather than me speaking all the time and then you just tune out at a certain point. But I appreciate the way like y'all actively pull people out. Like, if you notice somebody was just chilling, like, you asked me a lot of questions. I think the first time I came on and like the whole abstinence thing came up, like you made a point to like ask me questions. Like, the conversation would go someplace else and you'd be like, but let's get back to Flynn. Like, what is
Okay, no judgment, Flynn. No judgment here. It just threw me off because it didn't make sense. It was like, so you got all your pieces, you just don't choose to use them. Okay. And then I didn't want to ask, so what's wrong with you? Like, why aren't you wanting to use all your pieces? Like, it was no judgment, because, you know, they're your pieces, use them how you feel. I don't know. You just seem like a normal person. Texas?
Well, see, I am a normal person, and I think I'm a normal person, and the world is abnormal, and I don't know how to operate in this abnormal space, so I just decide chill.
A therapist told me this. If you start thinking the whole world is crazy, normally you need to get your shit together. Me,
like, that's why I don't sage. I know it's me. I know it's me. And I just rather... Okay. Just, like,
oh, and your Chef Elise thing is so cute. Like, I had an issue with that too. It wasn't like an issue, but it bothered me because it's so adorable that this isn't a normal thing. Like, why aren't a whole bunch of Black men being like, hey, I love being a dad. Like, is it something they do on their show? Like, it threw me off because it was like, you got like 5 extra points. Because me and my friend, we were really talking about this. Because I made her listen to it too. I'm like, listen, isn't it cute? Look at it. Oh. It was the tent episode when you were talking about the tent on the bed.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, I would never do that shit. Like, fuck, no. No. You can put it on the floor tomorrow, not during bedtime. But, wins for you across the board, tens across the board. I just don't understand why more Black men aren't doing that, and that's not a thing. Like, I feel like that should be a niche.
Yeah, it's been a weird space because on one end, like, I really don't, I don't ever want to come across as if I'm exploiting my daughter. Like, I'm exploiting the relationship I have between, you know, my daughter and I for like likes or views. But it is like one of the biggest parts of my life. And on a weekly basis, it may be the most interesting thing that happened to me at all. Like whatever interaction my daughter and I had. So that's what if I'm going to talk about me, like there's no way I could talk about me and not talk about that, because that's like the biggest part of what I got going on right now. And she's dope, man. She's hamming it up. She wants to be on the mic. And I like, I think we're going to start recording stuff. And like, she's all about, she wants to be a celebrity. And I think I had her,
love it.
I had her, do a little piece, or it was her idea. We did a little piece on an episode a few weeks ago. And so now in her mind, she is a celebrity. And okay. I got to deal with that. I just don't want her to be like a Kim Kardashian, like not know why you a celebrity. Like, we need to know exactly what your talent
is. No, I actually think that's genius. Kim Kardashian is a product. like JoJo Siwa. Like,
no idea.
My kid had me in that chokehold. I bought them $10 bows. Proudly. You got to get them because she says she needs them. But if she wants to be a product, if she learns the seriousness of everything that comes with it, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
But it's, you got to go past the celebrity. You are what's for sale now. But that says a lot about people too.
I'm trying to manage
everything
all
can't
that.
Be for sale.
As a black dad, just like, don't want baby for sale. Like, I don't do I want to be the one putting her up for sale? Like, it's got to be her idea.
Yeah. You can Matthew Knowles it. You can do it. Keep pushing.
I like that. Matthew Knowles it. So now I got it. Now I got a role model. Okay, I see where we're going. I got it.
Something to look up to. Beyonce is a perfect person to model your child after.
Okay. you mentioned imposter syndrome. I think a lot of people deal with that. So for you to like say that you struggle with that, and then the things that I've seen you do, like owner of Opulence Radio, multiple podcasts, World Guinness, you know, a book of record holder, like, so you deal with it, but you overcome it.
I have two books that are published.
Oh, and an author.
Wanted to plug all my shit.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know. I went through a period in my life a few years ago before the crystals and all the sage and everything, really dealing with my mental health and figuring out who the hell am I? Like, I just woke up one day and was like, I don't know how to answer that question. Becoming a parent, I kind of went through like this whole Martha Stewart type situation where I was really just trying to be someone else. Okay. Like, I was really focusing hard on being a version of myself that didn't exist. One day I just woke up and I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do what I want to do. And I just didn't stop. I just stopped being around people that didn't support it. So if I tell you a crazy thing, like, look, Flan, we got to get this $1 million by like Friday. Here's what I need you to do. I just need people in my life who are supportive with that plan instead of people that like, well, why and how? I don't really deal with the whys and hows, which make me kind of hard to work with because shit just happens, honestly. I don't know how. I'm still trying to figure out how this conference is going to work, but it works.
But it's going, right. Yeah, I think that's what.
It's going to work, but I don't know. I just, fuck it. Like, that's really just the goal of how it goes. And again, if something doesn't work out, fix it and keep doing it.
Yeah. See, I like this because you have conversations with people that you kind of look up to and you realize you have some similarities with them. Like, I might be a little doper than I thought I was. Because, you know, like, yeah. Like,
yes.
Fuck it, though, is one of my slogans. Like, just, that's what we're going to do. Like, it's whatever. Like, fuck it, though. Let's go. Like, let's get past it. And I think probably one of the reasons, this is reason maybe number 195 of why I'm divorced, is that I very much had that mentality of like, I'm not a super great planner. I just know that if it has to get done, I'm going to get it done. I don't know how. I can't tell you how it's going to work out. I can't tell you the plan. Just know that if it has to happen, I'm going to make it happen one way or another. And that's how I feel confident going into the situation with no plan, because I just know, like, we're going to figure it out. We're going to get there. Like, it's going to happen. Chill, relax. Like, I don't want people around me, like you said, that are like, well, how are we going to? I don't know. They could just roll with me, be there for me. When I tap you and say, I need you to go over there, I just need you to go over there, and then we'll get there. But that's cool.
gets it. A lot of adults don't like to deal with the whole no plan, which sucks.
Yeah, I'm so not a plan.
But I'm learning people that really support me through that. So it is what it is.
Yeah, you gotta be with the people that support you as you are. I'm learning. This is a great episode. I'm learning things. But I'm gonna pivot real quick. We done enough like okay. Kumbaya, the cool, like positive stuff. Like I know you got the ratchet side to you. I mean, I know you got the more controversial side to you. So I'm gonna see if you're willing to go there with me. I got a couple more questions I want to ask you, but these are all like way off the path, way off of what we've done so far. So anyway, I listened to the last episode of the According to This Black Girl podcast. And I want to say I appreciate that you're into weird shit, but that you don't share that with people. Mystery is good. That's dope. Please, like, please, ladies, pay attention to that. It's cool to be into weird shit, but you ain't got to, that don't have to be your selling point. That don't have to be selling point number one, like the first thing you tell me when I meet you. Like, chill. Like, if we get there, we'll find out.
We're talking about. Because we record a few weeks ahead of time and I never know what she drops. God. So yes. Yeah, I totally agree that. You don't see that. Well, are you on any dating profiles, Swan?
I am. I collect likes. I go in there, I collect matches, and I don't never say nothing. Like, I'm that dude. So I apologize, ladies. I'm not gonna say anything. Like,
I possibly might want you, but I'm never gonna respond. You that person?
Pretty much. I
mean, do you respond to the messages?
Women don't send messages. Occasionally, the women who do send me messages, and dudes do this too. The women that do send me messages, I have that moment like, what about me said that you were somebody I might respond? Like, you know, like you should have known better than that. I get a lot of, and I just be looking like, come on, man. Like,
wait a minute. So
I'm not saying, I'm not Denzel. Or nothing, but
you're on the site and then you question, well, why would you want me? Because you here, nigga. Like, I don't understand.
It's not why would you want me. It's if I'm in the club or if I'm not in the club because I'm not a club person. But if I'm someplace and I see a lady, I do the mental math and say, am I the kind of person she may respond to? And sometimes I won't, you know, I'm not going to make that move because I realize that I'm not running up to Beyonce or Rihanna or something. Like, I know that's not my lane.
No, don't do that. I hate when people do that. Okay, you're the prize, Flan. Look, it don't matter if that's Beyonce, Solange. I was about to say Beyonce, little sister. It don't matter if that's Solange right there. You are the prize. So the fact that you even put yourself out there, it should be like, yeah, Heffa, you want this? Like, I don't know. I'm weird with it.
The dating profiles.
And all the listeners. Don't get that confused. They should want you.
Rhapsody has a song called Knock on My Door. And like, I think you asked me when we was doing the whole March of the Record Book, like if there was something that could make me, you know, step out of retirement or something, like come back into the game.
Yes, get off the porch.
Yeah. She got a song called Knock on My Door. If I was to ever get the inclination that a woman looked at me that way, we together. Like, that's a forever thing. Knock on my door, ladies. If you want it, and they don't have enough, it's nothing sexual about it. I mean, it's a little innuendo in there, but it's very like just like I'm feeling this dude in a it's the smoothest. I love High Rhapsody. Once again, 428 days. Just get at your boy. Like, I just want to have a conversation. It don't have to go nowhere. That's it. But anyway, so
well, plan to have that conversation, you'll have to respond back from these women.
Oh, Rhapsody. Rhapsody getting a response. Absolutely. All right, yeah, Rhapsody is good. Right, see, I'm jumping out there to Rhapsody. I'm making this public in a
okay.
You know, that okay. I want.
Gotcha.
I'm being clear on this one. All right, so on that same episode where you talked about, like, I think because y'all were talking about the whole, like, people talking about Diddy peeing on them or like being peed on.
Yes,
that foolishness. So I think we agree on this, and I wanted to get like more of your input about that. Like the idea that giving energy to this bullshit, because you didn't want to talk about it. Like you came on and you were like,
no.
When you brought up this topic, I didn't want to discuss it because we don't need to give this any more energy, any more play. If somebody didn't know that they said this crazy stuff, the fact that we're talking about it going to make them go find the interview where they said this crazy stuff, and then that's going to teach them that if I want the listeners, if I want the plays, if I want the engagement, if I want to please the algorithm, this is the kind of bullshit I got to say. So, like, how do we counteract that? Like, how do we counteract? Because the algorithm rules everything, and I see it so much that, like, we see stuff we don't like, and we spend a lot of time talking about how much we don't like it. But that is what makes it powerful. That's what makes it, like, the thing to do. Like, how do you think we can counteract that kind of thing?
Ignore the bullshit. I hate to say stop acting like it exists, but, like, definitely want it to. And that was the issue I had with my co-host. Like, before we even recorded, it was like a 30-minute argument. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, listen, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
But no, women have to understand how this is an important topic. And she gave some good points and was like, fuck it, fine. I'll talk about golden showers and being pissed on. Because apparently, this is what women need. Black women need this. First of all, any of those type of podcasts, I have an issue with this because I'm a fan, but I get the bullshit behind it. Every other week, there's a new celebrity starting a new podcast and stealing my possible listeners. Yes, I'm saying stealing my possible listeners because these people were listening to podcasts anyway.
Right.
But when they do this bullshit, I don't understand how this is supposed to make it for regular women because you're not peeing on me. Sorry. I think I'm pretty nasty on the list. Like, I could get down, but you're not peeing on me. That's waste. And we're gonna have to talk about why you want to pee on me,
right?
Which might lead to an uncomfortable conversation of when we started peeing on people. But it's just, I got pulled into the bullshit, and the conversation did happen, even though it did have some good points on where sometimes men's idea of sexuality is going with women, because especially being a Southern girl, it's the mix between. You don't want me to have, like, I should have a body count of 2 when you meet me. Like, 2 max. But I should be nasty enough to let you pee on me? Like, that can't be the same woman. Yeah. It's not the same woman.
I definitely want to ask you how I can get one of those man's POV guest spots on the show. But, like, I
would love to, anyway. Anytime. Just let me know, Flynn.
Oh, yeah. I think I have a perspective to share. Because I don't think it's men. I don't think the majority of men want to pee on you or want to hear really about the fact that you want to, like, that's not an attractive thing to hear for the majority of
us. But you want them nasty. That's what they say in the same time. I want you to be real nasty. Like, how far is this supposed to go? Like, I think I don't even know if there's a normalcy anymore, because apparently peeing on you ain't that bad when you got scatting.
I think this pressure is coming from, like, other men, other women. It's not dudes. It's like, if you're not cool with getting peed on, then you're not even on the list of possibilities. Like, that's not coming from us. Like, maybe I'm wrong because I'm sheltered, but, like, I don't feel that energy from anybody I know. Like, man, she ain't want to let me piss on her. So that, I mean, that was the red flag for me. That was the cutoff point right there. I ain't dealing with that shit. Like, if you can't even let me piss on you, how are we ever going to be? I don't think that's coming from us. Like, this pressure to, like, get nastier and nastier. Like, I think we have said it, lady in the street, freak in the bed. And lady in the street means that outside, don't nobody else need to know about it. You know, you don't need to promote it. Just when we get there, show me. Show me better than you can tell me. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's coming from us.
You might be on to that, but I like a conversation beforehand. Because I like to know your prerequisites, what you're working with. Like, I really like to, just to see how people talk.
Yeah.
But I don't know, people be bullshitting too. Because I'll bullshit. I'll bullshit my ass off. But, like, to a certain extent, I think that kind of, I don't know. It's not what people say, it's what they don't say or how they say it sometimes. Like, I can tell if someone's telling me some shit, it's like, you ain't ever do that shit before. But, okay. Like, rock on. Do your thing. But it's hard. It's so hard not falling into the rat trap of what's in the algorithm. You're right. And what people are talking about. Because that P. Diddy shit was big on Twitter. And it got me. Because I I went back and I listened to a couple of albums because I wanted to hear, like, there's no way you just started having people pee on you. Like, this had to be something you've been doing for a while. So I wanted evidence. Like, I was listening through songs, like, she's got to have, like, a pee line somewhere. And I didn't hear one. So I think this is cap. Just throwing this out there. I said it. Carisha, you're not letting people pee on you. I don't believe it.
The algorithm is the new God. People pray to the algorithm. They do whatever it takes to appease it. And we feed into it every time we give energy to just, like, I think Mos Def said it, it's the polemic Olympics. Like, people are just, there's a competition to see who can say the craziest thing. And the next time, and every time somebody wins, then you got to one up and you got to say something crazier. And it's getting out of control.
Right. Speaking of crazy things, so you said something that offended me a couple episodes ago. Yeah, I've been creeping since I knew I was coming on the show. I wanted to prepare myself. So you said it with the Raw. So with women, titties is all you need is a handful, and that's after that, that's too much?
That's
where we go up playing?
So what I mean when I say anything more than a mouthful is a waste is not to say that if you have more than that, that's a problem. It's just to say that the entry fee, you know, where we need to start, if you have a mouthful, that's enough. Like, you don't feel lesser than if you don't have more than that, because that's really all I can do anything with at any one given moment. You see what I'm saying? If you have more than that, that's great. That's great. If you have more than that, that's great. But if you don't, I don't feel like you have to feel like you can't, you know, you don't have enough to, you're not tall enough to ride this ride. Like, a mouthful, you in there.
I was offended.
I apologize.
I heard that and I was like, well, damn.
I never mean to offend.
I got too much titty to display. I guess, I don't know.
There's no such thing as too much titty. Like, I don't, maybe there is. I've seen some, we're not going to get into that. But I think those are extreme case. Like, you really got to be in like a, like, you see the titty and you be like, that's unhealthy. Like, something is wrong. Like, she might need to, like, that's a growth. That's not a titty. That may be cancerous. I don't know what that is. Like, it's a lump in there somewhere. Like, that. But there's really no such thing as too much, in my opinion.
Okay, I was offended. That was just I listened to that and I was like,
that was the pay-to-play entry fee. A mouthful is enough. No such thing as too much. So, yeah, okay. Let me clarify. All right, so let's. I wanted to do this with you because we did this a little bit on in the March to the Record books, but I've this is another ad. This is reason number 196 that I'm divorced. I once had my ex-wife on the show while we were married, and we did a top five celebrity jump offs and spouses. Ooh. And
okay.
So this time around, I'm not going to do my list because I think that's where I went wrong with my ex-wife. Like, that's where shit went left. But I'd like to get your top five, and then my job is to just hate on whoever it is that you mention. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna sit here to provide hate. So I'm looking for five jump offs. Is I'm just trying to smash. Like, that's it. Like, that's it's nothing deeper than that. I just find this person heavily attractive, and that's where my mindset is. And then spouses is, it might not have anything to do with physical attraction, but this is somebody I would be with.
But like, spouses are forever. How do you choose five of those?
You gotta, yeah.
Yeah, that shows my thinking with that. So. Okay, so five celebrity jump offs.
Or however many you can get to.
Okay, so the first one will be, fuck, this is hard. Oh, Tiana Taylor husband. What's his name? Iman Shumpert. Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
The only hate I really could give Iman is the last name. Like, the whole Shump thing, it just, I don't know if I would let somebody call me. Even if that was my name, I wouldn't let you call me Shump, Shumpert. Like, how do you get a name like that?
Wait a minute. Your name Flan. What are you talking about?
Like, Flanagan is a good traditional Irish name. Yeah, I probably got it from a slave owner, but it's a good traditional Irish name. And people and they call me Flan. I got, because black people got to shorten everything. But Shump, like, I think Flan and Shump is, there's a gap between like being Flan and being Shump. Like, I know you can't call me Shump and it'd be cool. Like, and I don't want no smoke with him on Shump, or he, no smoke at all. I'm just, I have to throw hate because this is part of this segment. Like, that's all it is.
Even though, you know, they say he has herpes, I would still do Usher. I still do it. I risk it. Hopefully he doesn't have outbreak.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think I need to provide any hate on Usher. Like, the herpes is enough. Like, I can let that go. I can let that go.
I mean, you can't not do it. It's one of those situations. Like, if it was presented to me, I couldn't not do it.
So you can be so fine that the herpes is...
herpes, it's okay.
Okay.
Because you can take medication for that, and then I might not ever have an outbreak. Is that how that works? I don't know.
I wouldn't know.
I feel like I don't have enough sex ed to know how that works.
I wouldn't know. Haven't looked at it. It's one of the reasons I stay on the porch, because it's too much out there. I'm just not interested.
I'm trying to think who else is fine. It's like jump off fine. Oh, even though that whole Jenny Mai thing, I'd still fuck Jeezy. Yeah, I believe he's the old one.
Man, like, how can I hate on Jeezy? I don't have...
You can't say anything bad about Jeezy.
Can't say nothing bad. I'm scared of him. Like, I don't want to say anything bad about him, because I value my life, and I feel like that's not a good move if you're trying to stay. What is it that Jim Jones said? I don't think that's conducive to me walking around safe in these streets. So I'm gonna let Jeezy live with that one.
But he's calmed down though.
Those are the worst ones. Like I think I saw an interview with like Styles P once, and I think it was Nori talking. He's like, Styles P was at his house, and he's like, "You know how I know you a killer?" He was like, "Cause you came to my house and you knocked over a glass and broke it, and then you got up and got a broom and a dustpan and swept it up and apologized." He's like, "Dudes that are killers are always trying to like they're trying to defeat the confrontation before it even happens, because they know if it goes to confrontation, they know where they're going." So I feel like the people that's chilled out and is calm and is cool, seem all about peace, them the ones that'll kill you the first, because that's why they try not to get into any kind of beef, because if they get into it, they know exactly what they're gonna do. So no hate for Jeezy. Love you, Jeezy.
Yeah, Jeezy owes it. What's that? I can't think of his real name, but that light skinned dude on Grey's Anatomy with eyes. Yeah. I don't even like him light skinned, but he deserves it.
Yeah, because
he does like humanitarian shit too in his real life.
It's not difficult to hate on light skinned dude. Like you said, he's light skinned with eyes. Like yeah, whatever. Like I don't trust a dude with pink lips. Like it just
listen.
You gotta have facial hair.
He cares for black people. He cares for black people. He's out here in the trenches. And you know what? Even though he did, I'd still fuck Prince. Like not no. Let me express that. Not like dead Prince, but like
nugget porn and necrophilia. That's what we doing. Okay. I got it.
Not at all. Oh God, not at all. But yeah, I do Prince.
I got it.
Even though we're like my height with heels on, I'd be so cool with that.
I got a semi-funny story about Prince. Like at one point, I was working for Customs and Border Protection. I was installing like new computers at the international ports, any place that people were coming in, you know, from international trips. And I think I was in Puerto Rico. And Prince was coming off like a cruise ship or something. He was coming from somewhere. And first of all, I didn't realize like how short he actually is. Like dude is tiny. Like he had on the platforms and he was still, and I'm not a tall dude. And so if I look at you and you got platforms on and I'm still like, damn, you short. Like that's short. But he had like three or four super tall, big bodyguards with him. And he's going through customs. And the customs agent is talking to him. But every time the customs agent says something to him, he turns, his bodyguard had to lean down every time. He whispers in his bodyguard's ear the answer, and then the bodyguard will answer the question. And this went on for like six or seven questions, like every time. And so I wanted to say something to him, but at that point, I was like, I see there's a wall, and I'm not getting through that wall. So fuck
no.
Yeah. So that's my principle.
I would have been so geeked. So just threw my panties. I don't care. I've been working and would have did that shit right now. Just thrown them.
He would have put them
wouldn't
on.
Wouldn't even care.
He would have worn.
He would have wanted them, and it would have been the how we met story. That's what it would have been. And it would have been beautiful.
I got you. So you don't have to do five, but do you? I say one, because I see like you, when you think of spouses, you think of your forever home. Like, mm-hmm. Give me a celebrity spouse. Like who is that person?
Ooh, that's a hard question. You know what? I'm gonna say it, and I don't care what anybody says. So, no, I believe me and Kanye could have like really made it work.
God damn it.
And I believe I mean that sincerely. I believe me and Kanye could have made that work. And Kim dropped a she dropped the ball. He just needed somebody to understand him. And she wasn't there for him. I could fuck with Kanye. Man. And I think when he do his crazy shit, I'd just be like, Kanye, get your shit together. And he'd be like, oh, okay. And then he'd be all right. That's all he needs is somebody to sit back and be like, Kanye, get your shit together.
I'm praying that that's, right. I'm praying that that's all he needs. I really want to believe that all he needs. That's usually what I'm thinking when he's out here doing this crazy stuff. I'm like, he don't have nobody that's just like smack his phone out of his hand or just like, nigga, sit down, chill, relax.
That's a red flag for me. If you like, if we start talking and I ask you about your best friend and it's like a weird conversation, like you don't never talk to that nigga. To me, you have no one. You have no one checking you. Like there's no one in your life that checks you for your weirdness.
Right.
And I believe like as people, we all need somebody to, you know, sometimes pull us down and be like, hey, you good? You out here doing some weird shit. Yes. And I just think he doesn't have that person in his life. He just has people that contribute to like, and I hate this because I didn't want to bring this up either. But now we bring up Kanye. He doesn't have anyone to be like, you know, get your shit together, Kanye. And I think that's all he needs. Yeah. Sometimes that's all we need.
I have made a point not to address Kanye at all on the show because I'm just done. And I was the biggest Kanye West fan, but like I don't know if you can hear it in my voice. Like I'm hurt by the Kanye thing. Like I didn't want it to get here. And why doesn't he have somebody to just like reel him back? It's nothing wrong with medication, Kanye. I'm gonna speak to it. It's nothing wrong with the meds, man. And you don't have to stay on them forever. But sometimes you need the meds to just calm you down enough to be able to listen to good advice. I think you may even have some good advice around you, but you're so far gone that you can't hear it. Like, you just do it for a week. And just see how you just, I don't know. How long does it take for medication to kick in? Like 30 days or something?
How long? Like 90 days.
90 days? 90 days.
If you have health insurance with your job and FMLA, just tell me start meds and take like a 90-day vacation. That's it.
You heard it here. Yeah. Hey, I'm about to be extremely productive on this podcast because I'm taking 90 days off work and be full-time podcasting because I'm on medication.
Yeah, it takes like that long to get in your system. Yeah.
That's what's up. I needed to know that. But now this has been a good conversation. I can't hate on Kanye. I'm trying to think of something else to say, but I'm not going to. I feel like I do want to give my celebrity spouse because she's been out more recent than she has been in a long time. And I know the last time I said it, I got flack because I know she has said that she is not for male consumption. I think I don't think she even identifies as bi. I think she's a little bit of everything, but like she has publicly said she's not for male consumption. But Janelle Monáe, like her and Rhapsody is like right there. Like, I don't, you know.
I'm not even gonna judge you on that. She's so beautiful.
She's beautiful. And she just seems cool as shit. And then I think like she probably has a dope tie collection. We could like trade slacks and suits. Like we probably got suits that would fit each other. I just feel like me and her, it could be something. It could be something real.
Would that be a thing though? I don't know if I'd be happy with it.
It's Janelle. Like, I wouldn't be happy with it with anybody else. If any other woman was like, man, I got some slacks that would go dope with that, I'd be like, fuck you say to me? But if Janelle Monáe said it, you know, I'd be like, yes, babe, let me see them slacks. Let's rock now. I got a tie that would go with your outfit too. Let's trade. I could do that. Just for her though.
That's my thing I'm working on. Like, I think I'm into more, I guess, feminine men, but I don't know how cool I would be if like you ever asked me, let me hold your skirt real quick.
Yeah, no.
I'm still working on that.
Yeah, don't get what I said twist. If she has men's clothing, I would be cool with that. If she bought it from the women's section, no matter how close it looks, if it didn't come out of the men's section, because I feel like Janelle Monáe might occasionally shop in the men's section or like Express, where it's really ambiguous in there. I miss the Structure. Do you remember Structure when it was like Express and then they had a store that was the sister store or the brother store to Express, and it was Structure. I used to buy all my button-ups from Structure. And then it became Express for Men. And now I think it's just one fucking store.
Yeah, I think it's just one now.
One. Yeah. That hurts. That and Kanye. I'm sorry. Like, I'm super sad about both of those things.
But yeah, I don't know. I think I'm working on that. Like, whether or not I'll be cool with my dude with the skirt on. I think I'll be cool with that.
I'm feeling like...
It depends.
I'm feeling like ladies going to have to get there because that's what they be wearing, purses. And like the most gangster dudes is taking pictures in like pink furs with purses and all kinds of...
But I'm cool with it. I'm cool with like, if this is really who you are, like this is not just a trend or you're just looking for attention, I think I kind of fuck with it. And again, it has to be like a statement. Like it just can't be like, ew, that skirt doesn't go with those shoes. What are you doing? Like it could never be that. But if it looks good, I don't see what the issue is.
It doesn't look good. It doesn't.
I'm opening my eyes because I'm really more on sexuality being more fluid than people would really like to admit to. Because, I mean, it's very interesting you said Janelle Monáe. Just very interesting. But yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah.
Like, Janelle Monáe seems to be, like, I would definitely describe her sexuality as fluid. But even in that fluidity, she never comes across to me as not feminine. Like, I think she gives off feminine energy all the time. Even in them little slacks and suits with the suspenders and all of that. Like, she's still, like, to me, is very feminine.
Sometimes I get a little mask from her. I get a little masculine energy, but no judgment. Again, Flame, no judgment. It's all fluid.
I don't see it. All I see is the woman of my dreams and... one day.
I just said Prince wearing heels and I was down for that at like 7. Like I knew I wanted that man. So it is what it is. We like what we like.
Yeah. Ladies, y'all can do that. I have a theory and this may offend you. I'm going to see if this offends you or not. My theory is that all women are just a certain number of drinks from a lesbian experience. Because you guys are more comfortable. Like women can be around other naked women and don't see an issue with that. I have a limit to the amount of exposed penises that could be in a room at any given time. It can only be mine. If there's another penis in the room exposed, I don't need to be in that room. Like, that's just forever.
But what if you were changing?
Why are we changing together? The fuck is you doing in here? There's no way we could work. Like, was there no other option than for us to be in the same room at the same time, taking our clothes off? I find the male body disgusting. Get it away from me. Why would you ever do that? Y'all don't seem to be the same.
Y'all too weird on that. I don't think women are like 3 drinks away from being a lesbian. I don't believe that.
An experience. But they might try.
I think sexuality is way more fluid than people would like to admit. You just might not have met your person that you'd be like, okay, this might be, you know, a female, but let's do this. There are a couple of studs right now that just give me the right wink and we can make this. I would be happy getting a dog and we raising my daughter together. I'd be so happy. But they also give off a lot of masculine energy. And I will like to say that. So I have to realize like this is not a boy, but it looks like a boy, but it's not a boy. I think it's a mental thing. But I don't know. Maybe. I know. I think I'm more pan than anything personally. But like they them never wants to date me. Like I'm going for a they them. They never want to date me.
Yeah,
I'm feeling some type of way about that.
I say all the time, I feel like a Neanderthal. Like you mentioned, like growing up in the South, with that, you know, that Southern conservativeness. And D.C. usually isn't identified as the South, but to me, D.C. is a small Southern town. Like, I still have all of those. I grew up in a Pentecostal church and a Baptist church. I still have all of those, you know, sort of like.
Do you listen to Go-Go?
I have gotten into it as
an adult. I got hyped for the show. I listened to some Rare Essence before we got on here. I was getting ready.
You know about Rare Essence? is that Rare Essence your favorite Go-Go band?
I'm going to be honest with you.
Only one you know?
I just went to HBCU. I really don't know Go-Go. Gotcha. But it would be like that 30 minutes where they had to play it for the DC people.
I got you.
And then I pretend to know what I'm doing. But no.
Yeah.
I know the Pieces of Me song. And that's best. That's basically it. I know like three songs.
You know, Titty Ball.
I don't know Titty Ball. Right. No, should I know Titty Ball?
Classic, especially like a homecoming game. That's, you got to play Titty Ball.
I should be on Titty Ball. Titty Ball.
That's okay.
But yeah, Mumbo. Maybe I don't know the name of what it is. I'm hoping that's what it is.
Mumbo Sauce is probably my favorite go-go band. I got a chance to, when I was in my rapper days, doing my open mic stuff, I got a chance to be backed by Mumbo. So I did a performance once, and they were like the house band. And so they played a beat for me while I rapped. It was a long time ago.
Do you still eat that shit?
What's that?
Mumbo sauce? Do you still eat that? I was wondering why we promoted putting ketchup on chicken and think this is cool.
So there was, I don't know if anybody anywhere else, I don't even know if Mumbo sauce is a thing anywhere else. But
It's not. Okay. It's just y'all 12 people doing it.
my ex-wife loves it. She gets it shipped in from DC all the time. I never was a fan. There was a rumor when I was a kid, because Mumbo sauce was something you really only got at the Chinese carryouts and stuff like that. And there was a rumor as a kid that Mumbo sauce was ketchup and blood or something mixed together. It was something crazy like that. And I was like, yeah,
I'm good.
I don't know the consistency or the color. I don't know what it was. They were like, it's blood in there. And I was just like, yeah, I'm straight. I don't really even need to try it. I don't need to find out. I'm good. So I've never been a Mumbo sauce fan. But the band is crazy. Mumbo sauce, the band is crazy.
Interesting. All right, so I've never heard this blood thing.
I think because it doesn't come out of DC. You know, Mumbo sauce is not known to anybody who hasn't come through the area. So I guess if you don't even know about Mumbo sauce, you wouldn't know about the rumor of its crazy possible ingredients. So, I don't know.
True.
So, you know, Raw was on the show and he did his whole cream cheese and grits thing, which is gross. I think who else? Yeah. I had Jay on for this series and he talked about the pork rolls and stuff like that. He was from Philly as well. What's an interesting North Carolina food tradition that many people may not know about?
Well, I'm on the coast, so we do a lot of seafood in my area. I'm right on the beach. I live 10 minutes from the beach.
Nice.
I would say barbecue. That's a thing we have. So if you're not a pork fan, sorry. But I would say the barbecue. It's okay. It's vinegar based.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not a big vinegar.
I didn't know we were doing food. Oh, we have wine. We have a winery that's not far from here.
Nice.
And it's I don't know if you ever heard of them. It's almost a cheap bottom shelf wine, a step up from Arbor Mist, but it's really good. It's called Duplin Wine. It's really sweet.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of another food we have from North Carolina. Oh, we have hot dogs. Something else is pork.
Just generic hot dogs. Generic hot dogs.
It's a thing. Really good hot dogs.
Really good hot dogs. All right. So hot dogs, North Carolina wine, and then the vinegar-based barbecue.
Barbecue. So, I don't like the way you're saying that. And we have seafood.
All right. So, yeah, fun fact about Flan. I can't stand vinegar. Two, I think next week, it'll be Wednesday of next week, will mark 4 years of sobriety for me. I'm a recovering alcoholic. And 4 years ago, I would have been like, word, you got a wine in North Carolina? Do they export? Can I get it shipped in? But these days, damn. But if
we
somebody's
have fudge
listening.
Too. They make fudge.
They make fudge? All right. I can have the fudge. Can't have the wine. Rats. But
it's okay. You're not missing anything. Again, I told you it was bottom shelf.
When I was in my bag, bottom shelf, $5 a bottle? Yeah. Two of those.
No, I learned that getting older. It's not good to stay at the bottom. It's not good. As you get older, move up.
It's all going to kill you. I was trying to get there as cheaply as possible. I was trying to be economically responsible in my slow death. No, I have no judgment on people who drink.
That's so good, Flan. Right. That's so, so good. Yay. Does that bother you when other people drink? Because I drink a lot.
No.
I was drinking just a minute.
No, I love it. Okay. It is. I just had the guy on my show who was big into the weed culture and stuff. And it was like, man, yeah, tell me a story about your favorite weed experience or your favorite. Like, I live vicariously through people. I know I can't do it because I don't know how to moderate. If I do something and I like it, I'm going to do all of it fast now. I want it all. Give me everything I can get. So I can't even dip my toe. But I watch other people and I'm like, man, do your thing. Like, I enjoy being a sober person at a party. Like, I'm looking forward to this conference. If people get there and like get out of control, because I'm just going to, I will tape the whole thing. Y'all have to worry about a camera, man. I will be chill in the back and I will document the entire
I'm nervous
experience.
About that.
Yeah, you should be.
I'm nervous about that. Especially if everything goes well. Shit, I'm celebrating at the end.
Yeah, and I'm documenting but like, the whole
so,
thing. Like, my
so
favorite
you do
thing.
Nothing.
Nothing. I vape. That's a nicotine. Nicotine and caffeine. Nicotine and caffeine are my vices these days.
I know. You be drinking tea? I saw that. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. I'm big into my tea. I don't drink coffee, but I'm huge into tea. I got a chai with some matcha in it right now.
Mm-mm. So I can't do tea.
I have great teas. Yeah. Like a white tea with orange blossoms and honey. It's delicious. Strawberry green tea. Strawberry pineapple green tea. Awesome.
Yep. All of the above is just no.
Peach pistachio lime. Beautiful.
You drinking nut tea?
Don't say it like that. Like, why you gotta say it? why you gotta say it like that? Like, now I can't even go downstairs and have my tea because I'm gonna be sitting there. It's nut tea. You drinking nut tea?
It's
for
nut
me?
Tea. Yep.
Pistachio. Peach,
I don't like nuts,
wine.
So no, can't do that. Oh, we have a lot of pecans.
So it's
I don't
pecan.
Know, something else in North Carolina.
It's pecan, yep. Not pecan.
Pecans and what?
It's pecan, not pecan. Which one? So you're a pecan.
Oh, it's pecan. Definitely pecan.
Pecan. Right.
I'm working with someone. They had said pecan one day, and I didn't know what that word meant, and it was very uncomfortable for way too long because they kept saying it like, "You don't want a pecan pie," and I'm like, "What? I don't.
Pecan.
Never had that." Yeah, with my accent, it's pecan.
I got you.
And I don't hear it the other way.
Yeah, pecan was probably the first thing that you said. I was like, I hear the accent. Other than that, this is the last one. I know this has gone like longer than I planned, but it's a good conversation. I'm having fun.
I had a good time.
I'm having
fun. I had a good time playing.
Cool. But yeah, but before I let you go, tell the people everywhere they can get more of Amron's perspective.
Yes, where I do not post things, but definitely come come look. You can find me on Instagram at OpulenceRadio01. And also on Facebook and Twitter at According to the Number 2, This Black Girl. Definitely check us out. Many things come in 2023. It's going to be even more epic than before. But also, again, Flynn, if I haven't said this 1,000 times, thank you for being part of my event. I really think we built a relationship, and I can't wait to see everything that you do and we can do together in the future.
You know, thank you. That again, I tell people, like, if you haven't checked it out, I know Amron, you have like all of the YouTube clips. I think I've seen them on your Facebook, where people can go back and view that. You can find the nugget porn conversations, or there was a lot more like in-depth stuff than nugget porn, but that will always stand out to me as a memory from that weekend. But yeah, it was one of the dopest things I've ever had a chance, had the honor to be a part of, and it just, like, I admire a person that could even dream it up, more or less pull it off. So thank you so much for that. But with that being said, I appreciate you guys rocking with me for this long. Until we speak again, y'all be safe, be easy, be the light, and know this: if you know nothing else, Amron would definitely give it all up for Prince, and I love you. Holla.
Last call for alcohol. Yeah. If this is it, like if this is the last joint, if this is the last hurrah, it's the last call for alcohol, baby. Gotta say, whether you knew it or not, it's pretty much at the finest bar establishment, the finest spirits and libations y'all could have had, baby. You might realize it now, you might have realized it back then, you might realize it later.
Love.